Okay, well, welcome everybody to Sunday School. Great to see you all this morning. Let's spend some time. We're going to sing some songs first, and then we'll get into the message from the Word of God. And there's time, too, if any of you kids have been working on a memory verse this week, then we'd love to hear it from you. So keep that in mind. So, Timmy, your hand shot right up. You've got a favorite?
Number 42.
I do believe.
Great song. It says, I will confess my Lord at the end of that song. And there's that verse in Romans 10, verse 9. It says, if we will confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be
saved.
You betcha. Saved from your sins. Okay, Kira, you had one? 46. Number 46. Okay. In the house
and out of doors, scrubbing pots and sweeping floors, washing, ironing, mending too. These are things that I can do. I'll do it all for Jesus.
Hey, it's good to remember that when we're doing our little chores in life, they might not be anything too important, but you know, the Lord Jesus is watching us through it all, and he wants us to do it, first of all, to be obedient and do the job, and second of all, to do it to the best of our ability. So this is a good reminder. Okay, yes, what's your name? 52? Okay, say that.
52.
Good choice. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me. up for just one sec. Let's have the girls only sing verse 3, and everybody sing the chorus, and the boys only sing verse 4, and everybody sing the chorus. Okay, go ahead, girls and ladies. Wonderful truth that is that we've been singing about, that Jesus loves me. And how do we know, how do I know that Jesus loves me? From the song. How do we know that? For sure, without a doubt. The Bible tells us, you bet. And we need to read the Bible in that simplicity. We know this, we know something because the Bible tells me so, and it's God's word. So, awesome that Jesus loves me. Okay, Lori. Up from the grave he arose. Okay. Let's sing verses 1 and 3 from Up from the Grave He Arose. It's not in the book, but I think most of us would probably know it. Lo, in the grave lay Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. Up from the grave he arose, with a mighty cry for his foes. He arose for reminding us of that fact, Lori, that the Lord is risen indeed. And you know what? Today, maybe more than other days of the year, a lot of people are thinking about the fact that the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, that he tore the bars away, and that death could not keep him in the grave. Okay. Asa. Number 11. Number 11. As you journey
through life, many years or but few, there's one
The message for you that is sent from above. It tells of redemption. Who knows what it means to cling to something? Okay, Avery? Hold it tight. You want to hold my Bible tight? Nice and tight so you don't drop it, right? Do you think that's what the song's saying? That every time you carry your Bible around, you need to hold it nice and tight so you don't drop it? No, we don't want to drop our Bibles, of course, right? Because then we might have to get a new one if the pages fall out. But it means to cling to the Bible, that the words that are written in it, we need to live by them. And not let other people tell us to do something else. If the Bible tells us something, then we need to obey it. It's simple. Okay, that's how we cling to the Bible. Okay, well, let's close our hymn books. Maybe we'll have some time at the end. We'll see how it goes to sing a couple songs, but let's ask for the Lord's help. Our God and Father, we just give thanks for another resurrection morning, first day of the week, the Lord's Day. Thank you that we can be here, that we can open the Bible together. We just pray for each one, our Father, each of these children sitting here listening. Just pray and help them, our Father. Pray that each would know what it means to be saved, to have their sins forgiven, washed away in the work that the Lord Jesus has done on the cross. And so we just give thanks for all this and just pray for a simple message. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay, so I'm going to share a little story. Well, two little stories from the Word of God. Okay. One's about, I would say, a young boy, and one's about a young girl. But the story about the young boy, in the Bible, they don't call him a young boy. They call him something different. And it's a word that we hear nowadays. But I must say that I didn't hear it too often where I grew up. But then I moved. No, I don't think I even heard it much when I lived in Parry Sound area in Hamer Bay. But when I moved to Smiths Falls area, then everybody always refers to boys as this. So does any of the kids want to guess? Lori, do you know? Young man? You're close. Almost young man. But in Smiths Falls, they would say, oh, I went out with my young lad. Yeah, you bet. My young lad and I went out on the weekend and we did some fishing or something. And so they always say that in Smiths Falls, and that's the way that it's referred to in the Bible, is a young lad. So, Let's open up to, and the word for the girl's something different too, but we'll get to that after. John chapter 6. And let's read this little story together. So starting at verse 1 down to verse 14. So it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh, or it was near. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread, that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Well, maybe we'll just stop there and speak about these first few verses. So, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, it says in verse 1. And were there lots of people that were following him?
Yes.
Yes. How many?
5,000.
We learned that later on. But here it says a great multitude. So a lot of people following Jesus, listening to what he had to say. And it mentions here, too, that there was a feast that was coming up. A feast of the Jews. And what was that feast called?
Passover.
You bet, Kira. And who knows a little bit about Passover? What did the Jews have to do for Passover? Okay. Avery, can you tell us a little bit about Passover?
They would eat unleavened bread.
They would eat unleavened bread. That was part of it. Yep. And what about the story that we read about in Exodus? What did they have to do? Do you know?
Whoever put sheep blood on their door shall not have their youngest child killed.
Yes, that's exactly what happened at Passover. So whenever we hear Passover, okay, I'm just going to read a verse that can remind us just the awesome story of Passover in Exodus 12 and verse 13. Okay, so I think most of you kids would probably be familiar. Just like it was said here, they had to kill a lamb at Passover, and they had to take of the blood and put it on the side posts of their door, and on the upper part of their door, called the lintel. Okay, they put blood on there because judgment was coming on Egypt. But the angel says in Exodus 12:13, the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. Okay, and remember this little verse. The angel says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. And do you know what this story talks to us about? It's not, say, sheep's blood that we're concerned with. Whose blood are we talking about, Evangeline? Jesus is the blood of the Lord Jesus, and he's called the Lamb of God. Yes. And God's statement remains the same. You know what? If we take the blood of the Lord Jesus that he shed on the cross, and we believe in him, like that first song that we sang today, it says, I will believe that Jesus died for me. If we take his blood, and we have it in our hearts by believing in Jesus. When God says, When I see the blood, I will
pass over you.
Yes, pass over you in judgment. No judgment for you when I see the blood. Not only no judgment, but very, very rich blessings instead. So it's a wonderful trade. Okay, back to John 6. Okay, so the people were probably getting a little bit hungry. And Jesus asked Philip a question. He says, where are we going to go to buy bread so that we can get something to eat? And then in verse 6, he said this to prove him. Okay? And proving means like he was giving Philip a little test. He was wondering, would Philip be worried about where they were going to get food from? Or would Philip trust the Lord that the Lord would provide the food? Because we know that the Lord provides food for us. And do we get worried about where it's going to come from? Or are we going to trust him? Yeah, we want to trust him. So it says that he was going to prove him. And at school sometimes, I teach something at school, and then after a while, I give the kids a what? To make sure that they know that they know. I don't give them God's word, although that would be good to do that. Avery? A test. Yes, I give them a test. And then when they write the test and they do well, you know what? They prove that they know the material. And if they don't do so well, I guess they prove as well that they didn't really know what they should have known. So this is what Jesus was doing to Philip, was giving him a bit of a test. So Philip, of course, he maybe has some money in his pocket, and he says, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little, because there was a great multitude to feed. And there was maybe only a little bit of money that Philip knew of. He said, it's not going to be enough. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in that place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. So good job, Avery. You were right in your guess of the great multitude. There were 5,000 men there. And there was probably maybe even a lot more than that when you count women and children as well. So there was a lot of people there, a lot of food that needed to be served. Okay, so I brought something from home here. Who knows what this is here?
A lunch
box, yeah. So who goes somewhere during the day where they have to bring a lunch box with them? School, put up your hand if you have to bring a lunch box with you. Okay. Yeah, quite a few hands. Not too many of the adults seem to bring lunches with them. Oh, there we go, some more hands. I was thinking, wow, everybody's got lots of money to buy lunch every day. Now, just out of curiosity, okay, I bring a lunch every day. But who here packs their own lunch every day? I got to put my hand down. Okay, and the reason I wanted to say that is packing lunch is one of those jobs that it's so important, but those people don't often get thanked for doing that. So after Sunday school, if somebody else packs your lunch for you every day, then you should go to them and say thank you. Because I always just grab my lunch and head out the door, and I don't have time to say thank you to the person who packed my lunch. But I really appreciate it. Now, there was a lad here, and he seemed to have brought his lunch. And it seems to be a different lunch than what I would have brought. So, what did he have in his lunch? Who knows? Okay, Aiden. Bread and fish, right? Let's see what we have in our lunch here today. So, we have two small fishes, okay? Not even big fishes, just small ones. And loaves of bread, right? How many did we have here? One, two, three, four, five. Wow. You know what? That boy must have left his house maybe hungry that morning, thinking he was going to eat a lot. Or, you know what? Maybe he decided, I'm going to pack extra today because I'm willing to share what I have with other people. I don't really know what he was thinking exactly, how he had it. But, and I got my fish here frozen from the store. And maybe he went to the fish market to get his fish, but you know what he might have done instead? What do you think, Leah? Maybe he caught his own fish maybe that morning. Maybe he fished on the way to go listen to Jesus, and he managed to get a couple small fishes. I don't really know. Anybody want to guess what kind of fish these are?
Walleye.
Not walleye. You want to guess, Jack?
Salmon.
You got it. Salmon, okay? And I enjoy a little bit of salmon from time to time. But you know what's the neat thing about salmon? Is they swim really hard against the current. Okay, they go upstream to have their babies. And so when I go to my parents' cottage, you can go to a little stream at a certain time of year in the fall. And there's a bridge there. And you see all these huge salmon coming from the south end of Georgian Bay, and they're swimming up this little river up to have their babies up there, and they work really hard against the current, okay? And what we want for each one of you kids here is to be little salmon, okay? Because the world, the current of the world, it's trying to wash us down. But the Lord wants us to swim against the current, okay, to work hard to be different because we have the Word of God before us. And so it's very important. So I want each one of you kids to remember the salmon today and remember that salmon work really hard to go against the current. Okay, so you know what? That boy, he was willing to share his lunch with the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus was able to do amazing things with it. Let's, where did I put my Bible? Here it is. So let's continue on with our story. Just want to say that the Lord, when he said, sit down, you know, he provided sweet green grass for those people to sit down on. And when you have nice grass to sit down on, there's almost not a comfier chair that you could be on. Sure. So it says that Jesus took the loaves, verse 11, and when he had given thanks, He distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, said, This is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. And so, the Lord Jesus took the loaves and the fishes, and who did he give thanks to? Yep, God. Okay, and you know what? He set the example that we need to follow, that when we're enjoying our food as well, we need to remember who it's from. It's from God above, and he provides it, provides that bread, provides those fishes for them. The Lord Jesus gave thanks. And then, you know what? He could have just given it out to everybody himself. But instead, he wanted to give it to who? So that they could distribute it. Who did he give it to? Kendra, do you know? Yeah, let's say it into here.
The disciples.
The disciples, yeah. Because you know what? The Lord Jesus, he doesn't need our help, but he loves it when we do help him. And so he gave it to the disciples. The disciples were able to hand it out to all those people. And it says that they were all filled. They all had enough to eat. So I know my kids. And if we just had salmon and bread, they might have thought, is there something else to eat here? But you know what? All these people were filled, okay? And so it's good to be thankful for what is given to us and to eat what's set before us. Okay? The Lord's provided it. So let's do our best to not be a picky eater. Okay? But to eat what's put before us. Okay, and when everybody saw the miracle that Jesus did, and the miracle was that he took 2 small fishes, 5 loaves, and fed maybe 12,000 people with just that food. The people said, truly, this is that prophet that should come into the world. Wow, the Lord Jesus was much more than a prophet, wasn't he? But it was a good start that they realized that this was no ordinary man. And maybe they were thinking of back in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 18. So Deuteronomy 18:18. God says in his word, he says, I will raise them up a prophet, capital P, from among their brethren, like unto thee, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And of course, the Lord Jesus, he always spoke, he always did those things that pleased the Father. So he was that prophet that should come into the world. Okay, and there was not only enough that everybody was filled, but there were, what?
12 baskets left over.
Yeah, there were leftovers. So, you know what? When the Lord provides, it says in Ephesians 3 that he often goes exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And you know what? Sometimes we ask the Lord for something, and he's going to provide much more than what we ask him for. And that's the way it is with our salvation, too. You know, we'd probably be happy with just a small fraction of what he provides us, but he's done so much for us. Okay, let's go over to the other little story. So this was a story about a little boy, and he had something, and he was willing to give it to the Lord, and the Lord used it. Okay, let's go to the story of the little girl now. Okay, that's in 2 Kings 5. We don't know the name of this little girl, but she's not called a little girl, she's called a little maid. And we'll see why she's called a little maid in 2 Kings 5 and verse 2. Okay, this is about the story of Naaman, which you'd probably be familiar with. Verse 2, the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. So this little girl had a job to do. She was brought away captive from Israel. She was in a strange land. She was in the land of Syria, and she was a servant girl. And she had to wait on Naaman's wife. And if Naaman's wife wanted her windows cleaned, well, the little girl would clean the windows. And if Naaman's wife wanted the floors scrubbed, well, she'd ask the little girl, and the little girl would willingly scrub the floors. So she was a little maid. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." So, Naaman, her mistress's husband, okay, he was a very important man, it says in verse 1. He was the captain of the Syrian army. Everybody looked up to him, but Naaman had a problem. And what was that problem? Okay, Oceana.
Leprosy,
yes. And you know what? Leprosy in the Bible speaks of sin, and we all have that same problem. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Okay? Now, that little maid girl, she could have said, "I'm sick of scrubbing floors. I'm sick of being here doing everything that's asked of me. My master has leprosy, and I hope it takes him, because I'm tired of working for these people." She could have had that attitude, but she didn't. She loved her master and her mistress, and she said, "Oh, if only Naaman could go see who? Elisha, yes. If only Naaman could go see Elisha, Elisha would be able to tell Naaman what to do." And so, that little girl is like us when we go about our day. And we know that not only maybe we've had leprosy, but hopefully we've accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And our condition is cured. Our sin condition is gone. But there's a lot of people around us who still have sin, leprosy. And you know what we can do? We could tell them, "Oh, if you only went to the Lord Jesus, you could be cured of your problem of sin. If only you did that." Well, did Naaman take the little girl's advice? Did he go for a visit and go see Elisha? Yes, he did. And what did Elisha tell Naaman to do?
To dunk under water 7 times.
Yeah, to go for a dunk under the water 7 times. And what river did it have to be in?
Okay. The Jordan River.
The Jordan River, yeah. The instructions were very detailed. Okay, not just any river would do. Had to be the Jordan. Not just 6 times. Had to be 7 times. Okay? And Naaman thought, that's a bunch of baloney. I'm heading home. I'm upset that he would ask me to do this silly little thing. Okay? But, of course, his servants convinced him that, I love this verse. They say, if the prophet had bid you do some great thing, would you have not done it? And Naaman would have agreed that, yeah, he would have done it. And you know what? It's the same with salvation. Okay? If God had said you need to, you know, climb the highest mountain, we would all try to do it. We would try to do something. If we had to travel across the world to some pilgrimage, okay, we would all do it. But it's so much simpler than that. He just says, believe and be saved. It's very, very simple. And yet, some of us say, nah, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. Okay, it's so, so important that we believe in the Lord Jesus. Naaman washes 7 times in the river. It says, wash and be clean. Okay, and we can wash ourselves in the precious blood of Christ, that Lamb of God who was crucified for us. We can wash and be clean of our sins on our way to heaven. Well, I need to apologize because I haven't left too much time for a memory verse, but does one or two children want to share a memory verse they've been working on? Okay, let's... Do you need help getting started? Yeah? Okay, I'm just going to go to somebody else, okay? And if you think of it, then you let me. Hang on a sec. Let's go to somebody who hasn't spoken yet. Okay, Emma.
Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. John chapter 14, verse 1.
Awesome. Okay.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
Okay, Evelyn, come on up. Yeah.
Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1.
Thank you, Evelyn. Okay, well, I'm really sorry, but I'd love to give everybody a turn here, but our time's gone. Okay, so we are going to pray, but let's remember those song number 15, I think, in here. No, 13. 13's one of my kids' favorites. Okay, the last verse goes like this. It says, the things we do for Jesus may not seem like very much, but if he is your Savior, God will see and honor such. Okay? So I want to leave that with all you kids, that if we are willing and able to do something for the Lord, you know what? He appreciates and values it so much. And it will give us confidence to continue on in our path of faith. Okay, let's bow our heads. Our God and Father, we just give thanks for this time together. We give thanks for this reminder of this story. Our Father, where you provided in abundance above all that we could ask or think in taking this little bit of food and distributing it amongst so many. We just give thanks for meeting all of our needs, and most importantly, our need of salvation in sending your Son, the Lord Jesus, to die for our sins. So we pray for each child here that they would be like this little maid and this young lad and be willing to be used of God in blessing to others. And so we just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.